Hey y'all, we're going to look today at Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. This is the healing of the man with leprosy. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So on the surface, this looks like a rather straightforward healing, but I do think there's a lot more going on here than merely a spectacular miracle. First, notice the guy says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He doesn't say, "If you will, you can heal me." That's one of the first clues. Why does he say clean? Well, whatever this man had, it's probably not what we call leprosy today. It's probably a skin condition as outlined in Leviticus. And these skin conditions kept people from worship. They were not allowed to come to the tabernacle to worship or the temple. And usually they were kept out of the camp. So they were kept out of society. So it's some sort of skin problem. Actually, there's a lot of relevance to this now because we might compare it to the COVID crisis. This guy was under a kind of a permanent quarantine. We're not told how long he had it, but basically he was under a permanent quarantine. He couldn't be around other people, and he couldn't come to worship with the people of God. So that's something I think we could resonate with, the crisis that this man was in. And he asks Jesus for cleansing so that he can come to worship and so that he can re-engage in society. And notice, Mark highlights something about Jesus' response, that is his emotional response. Jesus is moved with pity. He has great compassion on this guy. And I think that's an important picture of Jesus' heart. He looks at this guy, who, by the way, doesn't respond ideally after the healing. And Jesus probably knows that. Nevertheless, he is moved with deep compassion for this guy. And he makes it clear that he's willing. "Yeah, I'm willing. Be clean." And he simply touches him. Once again, Jesus' healing was not attended by spectacular, crowd-pleasing behavior, but a simple word and a simple touch. And notice, too, that in the Levitical system, if you touch something unclean, you are unclean. Well, Jesus is the opposite. What he touches becomes clean, even if it is unclean. And notice, too, I appreciate this, that Jesus is not shocked, embarrassed, or grossed out by human suffering. But he enters right in, and he touches, and he extends his compassion. And again, I think that is a powerful depiction of our Lord's heart. There is not a human condition that he's somehow embarrassed by or would want to shrink back from, but he's willing to enter in and bring his life. But then we have this strange turn. It says that he warned him sternly, and this is really strong language. We might translate it, he rebuked the guy. So what's going on that he rebukes him? Well, I think there's several things. The first is, all through Mark wants to stress that Jesus avoids crowds, and he tells people to keep who he is and what he's done on the lowdown. And I think there's a number of reasons for this, but the bottom line is we humans have a tendency to invest in our leaders the wrong qualities or expect the wrong things from them. We create idols out of our human heroes and our human leaders. And Jesus knew that the Jews were expecting a Messiah, but he also knew that their expectations of what the Messiah should be were very, very human. We're very, very contrary to what the Messiah needed to be. That is a humble, suffering servant. Nobody was expecting that kind of Messiah. And Jesus is trying to avoid, he's trying to avoid a popular movement that will try to invest him with the wrong qualities and try to force him into their mold. Humans want to force God into their mold of what he ought to be. And Jesus simply is not going to do that. Notice too that instead of spreading it abroad, he challenges him to go to the priests, which is what was commanded in the Old Testament, and to show them what had happened as a testimony to them. Right? He's encouraging the guy to do what he needed to do so that the priest could say, oh, you can worship with the people of God and you can enter back into the community of God. But instead, this guy's kind of a blabbermouth, and he goes around with a kind of a sensationalizing spread about what Jesus has done. If it were today, I could see this guy getting on Facebook and sort of sensationalizing the healing that Jesus, or the cleansing that Jesus gave him. And I think Jesus might say, no, I want you to do a far more humble thing, a far more quiet thing, and a far more obedient, trusting thing. Now, I want to do a little guesswork with this guy, and this is just guesswork. I don't know. But I do think Mark wants to tell us that this guy doesn't have the ideal response. He doesn't obey Jesus. He doesn't do what Jesus told him to do. Instead, he goes and blabs everywhere. And it suggests to me that the guy had a problem with his mouth, that the guy had a problem restraining his speech. In the Old Testament, remember Miriam, who speaks poorly of Moses' wife, and she is struck with leprosy as a result of it. It seems as though she's using her speech to try to denigrate Moses, to try to elevate herself in the eyes of other people. And the Old Testament in particular speaks really badly of this, especially if that is indeed why she was punished, because she was using language to hurt Moses to promote herself. She, as C.S. Lewis said, wanted to be perhaps on the inner ring, to be important or to be seen as important and in the know and in the inner circle. And she is given a pretty serious humbling. So whereas she was trying to lift herself up, she winds up being humbled for it. And I do think this guy clearly had a hard time controlling his tongue, as is obvious by what he did. And it also seems it's obvious because Jesus rebuked him, right? He gave him a very strong warning, knowing this guy, he's got a problem with his tongue. I'm going to need to warn him strongly about this. So was he using the healing that Jesus gave him as a way to make himself look important, as a way to make himself look like a real spiritual person or something? That's just guesswork, but I think it might outline a direction that we should understand about this guy. And then finally, notice the response. Jesus had intended to go around to these villages, these communities all around the Sea of Galilee, and preach the news of the kingdom. But as a result of this guy's not controlling his speech, Jesus can't enter into villages. If he does, he's going to be mobbed. And instead of a kind of a fruitful teaching and healing ministry, what Jesus has instead is a big spectacle. So the irony is, this guy started out the story ostracized from community life and in living in remote places. And it ends with Jesus in the place of the leper, in remote places and not being able to go into the villages because they have false expectations on him. I do think that's a preview of things to come, that Jesus takes on himself the punishment and the consequences of sin that we deserve. But it also shows that this guy's response to Jesus is from a misunderstanding of who Jesus is and who he's meant to be. So may we, though, be disciples who humbly and obediently give testimony in the proper place to what the Lord has done in our lives. Amen.